We Talk Podcast presents...
What it is! What it do! Welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host, Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot, not with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
Joel, it is going good. It was a crazy week in the week of mixed martial arts in the world of the WWE. All over the place. It was a tremendous week.
Yeah, it saw the rise of an internet darling that was supposed to be just a mid-carder. It was the best in the world stepping into the octagon. And it was the CWC closing out their show.
Yeah, and we're going to get to all of that. But first, Brother Christopher.
Oh, no.
You and I have to go on a mission.
Oh, no. Does it involve spot monkeys named Matt?
Brother Christopher, are you ready to delete or decay?
I guess so. I mean, the first one was pretty good, so why don't we jump right in? Director's cut?
Let's do it.
Woo! All right.
So, what we're going to do... We had a whole act where I was going to act like Broken Jawa, and Joel had a really funny joke leading in about new Apple headphones. Didn't work out so well, so we're just going to get past all that and just get into this. So what we're going to be doing is we were thinking about we were going to watch the final deletion separately and then get back. And then we're like, oh, well, we'll go on Skype and we'll give our thoughts and go on. But you know what's even better than that? Is our live reactions to what is going on with the final deletion versus decay.
Delete or decay?
So, Joel, director's cut. So 20 minutes, that means we're going to be a little shorter on the events of this week, but I think you all forgive us for doing the recap of delete versus decay.
And we're going to have lots of comments, so.
I'm sure we will. So, Joel, are you ready?
Yep.
One, two, play.
Oh, boy. So we got the Impact logo, which is always good to see. It's always a sign of top-notch production.
The only time that Joel and I ever see the Impact logo is with the Broken Matt Hardy stuff now.
He draws people in.
Piano. We got the piano going.
That's
I believe so. We got Jeff in the background in a hoodie. So that's Brother Nero. Jeff looks like a zombie.
Yeah, well, he's been deleted.
Vanguard 1! This poor kid. The kid's playing the piano!
How screwed up is this kid gonna be?
There's no way he would have been doing this if he was married to Lita.
Yeah, no.
The Zone of Impact. You know how awesome Matt Hardy is? That he got his gardener and a freaking drone over.
Yeah, like, I mean, you see memes of Vanguard 1 and the...
And Benjamin?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll be alright. Oh my god. This is the first time I've seen the Impact Zone, I think, in... I don't know how many years. I think we got reset, Joel.
No, I think they were skipping over some...
Okay. The Impact Zone? Okay. Okay. By the way, Joel and I have no idea who Decay is. I'm just going to clarify that. I don't know. Do you have any idea who Decay is?
Nope. So this will all be brand new. We're 3 minutes in, and this is definitely...
Yeah, Joel and I are going to be very honest. Neither one of us watch Impact. We were going to maybe watch Bound for Glory, And then we're like, oh, wait a minute, that's the same day as Westworld. That's how little we care about TNA.
Yeah.
Although I've heard it's much better.
Yeah, I'll watch New Japan, I'll watch ROH, I'll watch Rev Pro, TNA. This stuff is what draws me in.
Yeah.
We're casual fans of TNA, that's what we are, John.
It's a casual list. Once Matt's done this, like, these in podcast interviews are hilarious. I love when he's serious again to just hear the idea behind all of this.
What was the idea behind a smiley?
No one knows yet because he's never done it out of character. It's all been kayfabe.
That kid.
Oh, this is where the Young Bucks thing is, right?
Yes, the
Spot Monkeys. Resplendent souls in existence, and my soul can communicate with him. Everyone, to the mere mortal, what you see behind me. I guarantee you Matt's been listening to like a lot of Shakespeare and stuff to get some of these words down.
He's definitely done a deep dive to change his vocabulary a lot.
Oh, George Washington. He reincarnated as a giraffe.
Well, I guess George Washington has a long neck.
Mm-hmm.
You think I should take Brother Nero to Martin King and Dread? Oh, George, you're such a joke for the bridge. Return that, bring her back, but she needs, she's not ready
to sense. Brother Nero, I have arranged a sparring match for you and smoking Joe Frazier. It shall be a delight. Let me guess, Joe Frazier's a kangaroo. Are you ready? Yep. Are you ready? Call that one. Jeff Hardy is wrestling, boxing a kangaroo right now.
Well, that thing's not going to be friendly either.
No. Like, that thing kicks you? I know Jeff has taken spots, but that thing will destroy you.
Yeah.
It's kicking Matt.
No, brother.
Oh, here comes the monkeys. DJZ. I guess that's for DJ Zima. Uh-oh. Genghis Khan. He's a tiger.
So
I'm guessing that the director's cut was a lot of this nonsense. And then the match is like 12 minutes itself.
Yeah.
So, but this is still all great.
We're 2 minutes away, so... And we got to see Spot Monkey, so...
The Bucks of Youth.
Maybe those Spot Monkeys will be WWE bound.
The Pod of Falls.
Oh, God. You're just going to start talking like Broken Matt.
Brother Christopher!
Oh, no.
There's Mr. Brown. James Ellsworth's brother?
Very kind of country music?
It sounds like Jeff singing. That looks like Daphne. I swear that's Daphne.
I think that's Decay. Like, this will be the Decay stuff.
That looks like Daphne, though. Maybe it's someone that we don't know in TNA. Again, we don't watch TNA, but that looks like... That reminds me of Daphne.
A zombie.
You should ask.
You ride all night, baby.
Is Decay Joseph Parks? Is it Abyss?
I think Abyss is a part of Decay.
Is it a group?
I think so. Wow.
That's 100% Abyss.
Okay.
Right? That's Abyss.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Again, don't watch CNA. Don't yell at us. I don't know who the other guy is, and I don't know who the girl is, but the big dude is 100% Abyss. I'm 100% sure of that.
I'm 99% sure Decay... Oh, no. Not Benjamin.
Yeah, that's Abyss. I'm glad he got a gimmick change.
Yeah.
that's the picture, Joel, for the pod.
Oh, delete...
The shovel with the leet.
So it is Abyss, Crazy Steve, and Rosemary.
Okay. Who's Rosemary?
Rosemary is Courtney Ruth.
No, I never
She's
heard of
Canadian.
Her.
Canadian.
Oh, okay, cool. Who's Crazy Steve?
He is Crazy Steve is Stephen Scott.
No.
He is from Montreal.
Okay, so two Canadians. I want to have some backstory on Decay in a bit here, but let's just enjoy this for what it is. So Decay is a group, and they're going against the Hardys then.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming Rebby Sky versus Rosemary, and Crazy Steve against Jeff, and then is Abyss just Abyss?
I believe Abyss is the main man.
Is his name still Abyss, though?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So he lost his mask and got face paint.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're looking at Keen Maxwell right now. He's really the last big guy, like the prime TNA that never came to WWE. I don't think he ever will.
No.
Okay. Here we go.
Very kind of horror movie vibe.
Yeah.
I like Decay's outfits. It's very nice and that fits.
They got the Roman candles again. Those things Jean-Pierre Paul learned, those things can take your fingers off if you hit them the wrong way.
Yeah.
Those things gotta hurt. Did they hit you? The Roman candles?
It seems to be running and scared. That's why they got the jackets, I would guess.
I would assume so, yeah. Well, Rosemary doesn't have one, though.
Yeah, that's the last thing you need is your legs to get hit by one of those. Jeez. Well, what you do for pro wrestling?
I guess so.
You just see everything kind of flying and sparks flying, and it's very similar to the first deletion.
Right, with that, yeah, I don't see the ring, though, and Jeff's not jumping off a freaking tree.
Or they're not swimming in water, and Willow magically appears.
But I guarantee you that pond comes back. I guarantee you he goes in that pond, and Abyss turns into, Joseph Park or, the original Abyss.
Maybe. It's very well shot. The looks, the smoke, the color, very well shot.
I've never seen Rebby Sky wrestle, so I don't know how good of a wrestler she is, but I guess in this sense, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Because there's some protection with the cuts.
The dilapidated boat.
The boat always has to appear.
Yeah. I have a funny story about the dilapidated boat in a bit. They're shooting more Roman candles right now.
That's got to be a good third of their budget is Roman candles, isn't it?
Yeah. Maybe Billy Corgan really likes Roman candles, man.
And then maybe he can get Roman Reigns and then give him a Roman candle.
Jeff's going to kick the boat. Okay, watch, Joel. I swear he's going to turn into Joseph Parks. I swear he's going to turn into Joseph Parks. This is creepy. Set the boat up.
Senor Benjamin is the most straight-faced man I've ever seen.
Why is he taking a picture of the boat?
Called it! Called it!
Donde está mi hombre? Prince, a this! See, give me a hug! Help me!
Okay, so that water has regenerative powers then. It turns you into your old gimmick. Shittiest gimmick.
So what would happen if we threw John Cena in there?
He'd be the guy that wore the tights that was every single like city color that he went to.
He
went to Carolina, the Tar Heel blue, and it's in Kansas City, like the Chiefs red, Raiders black, and Oakland.
Oh, that water could be an interesting conversation.
Mm-hmm. Because that's why Matt turned into Willow. Jeff turned into Willow.
Oh, God, what are they going to do?
Oh!
Ooh.
I think this water's not, like, regenerative, though. This is just the pool.
Yeah.
It's like the creek.
Only certain water regenerates
you. Only certain water regenerates you.
And now Matt in purple or pink.
Really creepy that Matt's attacking a woman, by the way, I just want to say.
This could definitely be part of nightmares.
Yeah. So he dug it, Abyss. So Abyss has been buried alive. Crazy Steve is fighting, and Matt's trying to track down a woman. Jeff's like, I'm sure Jeff's having fun, but he's just like, I can't wait to get back to the Fed.
I think there's a few people going to the Fed. Would be nice.
James Storm is one of them. He's a free agent as of today.
I don't know if he jumps over.
It may be a storyline with him and Billy Corgan, though, I've heard. We'll find out.
So, did he just kill Crazy Steve?
No, he's popping out of the water, man. Come on. Called it.
The end of Brother Nero?
Maybe. We know that Benjamin's going to get captured.
Yeah, because of the missing signs.
Mm-hmm.
Why they were at Castle McMahon. Or
I guess Abyss is probably going to pop out of here and take him, right?
Yeah.
Because he buried Joseph Park. There he is. He's choking Jeff with a fucking floaty. This isn't even terrible. Like, this is actually kind of good.
It has my interest.
Wait. His face paint came back. Respect on that.
Yeah.
He was washed off in the pool.
Still hunting a girl.
Is he going to wrestle her, or is Rebby going to come out and just attack her? Oh, wow. Abyss. Did you say go get your baby? They're trying to take Maxwell. Abyss attacked him with like a nail, like,
yeah.
Baseball bat. Oh, Janice is back. I remember Mick Foley gave him that. No, Brother Nero! Get stabbed to death! He's dead. Jeff Hardy died. I guess they don't have the money for blood?
I guess not.
That was so unselfish.
So he just killed Jeff Hardy, by the way. He just took a bat of nails to the stomach. So we're pretty sure Jeff is dead. Where's Rebby at? Uh-oh! Vanguard's locked and loaded, brother! He's got Roman candles, too! Oh, my God.
You get a Roman candle. You get a Roman candle.
Everybody gets a Roman candle!
god, something's got fire.
It's the Hardy logo.
Poor brother Nero.
Crazy Steve's in the middle of it. Maybe my least favorite wrestling name of all time, by the way.
It's very generic.
Mm-hmm. Seems like something like SNL would make up for, like, a name.
Yeah.
It's almost as bad as, like, naming someone Mad Dog. Oh, no, they took Team Maxwell. Dogs! Oh, Vanguard 1 is so over. Vanguard 1 is more over than Roman Reigns, Joel.
That's not good. Like, was that blood, or...?
I don't know, but I think she killed Vanguard 1. It's offline! No! Vanguard! Vanguard's down, Jeff is down. The boat's okay, though.
Then your Benjamin's not okay.
Benjamin's not okay.
You just crossed a line that you could never return.
Poison missed, I think, dude. Like Tajiri style. He mad sucked it back in. I've never seen that in wrestling. Is he gonna spit it back?
Oh my god.
I guess it's the only way you could attack a woman. Wow. King Max, oh, he can walk! But Benjamin's gone, Vanguard's gone, and Jeff is gone.
Some have been deleted.
We don't know if Jeff's gone for sure. Jeff is still... They have Benjamin in the back of a pickup truck, though.
Oh, boy. So they just leave Rosemary behind?
I guess.
That's it?
No animals were harmed in this evasion. Wow. Well, Joel, where do you want to start?
The boat's okay? So, I have a question.
Yeah.
Murder's okay in pro wrestling?
I guess, because we're assuming Jeff is dead.
Yeah.
Or dying. By the way, so really quick side story. I've been watching The 100, and there's a part where they come to a dilapidated boat and a drone's leading them along the way. And I was just like, delete! Vanguard 1 and his boat are in the 100, apparently.
Oh, boy.
That was interesting.
But yeah.
They Bound for Glory, that's the only way they can have a match.
Yeah. The 100%.
Wow. I mean, I will give Matt Hardy credit because he made TNA relevant again.
It's crazy.
You and I didn't watch when Moose came out to TNA. We watched the Aaron Rex thing.
Yeah.
TNA has to do a lot to get your attention. And this has gotten everyone... This, I mean, it's no secret. We do our awards every year, and it's no secret. This is Gimmick of the Year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's nothing to me that comes even close. I don't even know who runner-up is in the first place, but... This has by far and away been the best gimmick of the year.
Oh, yeah.
So, congratulations to Matt Hardy, because we were not even talking about... I don't think we really talked about TNA once last year, except for sales.
Yeah.
So, it's nice to talk about TNA without having to talk about it being sold or management. It's nice to just talk about TNA and talk about the product.
Josh, I have some little breaking news.
Sure.
That I have to... So, NXT had their tapings.
Okay. So, let's do that at the end.
Okay.
Because people may not want to... Do we have a... Do we have a takeover match announced on it?
No, but we have a tag team announced for the 2016 Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, and the finals at the Toronto Takeover.
Okay, I want to listen to that, but we should probably, for people that don't want spoilers, say that for the very end.
Yeah, there's one thing that you have to, you will love, you will be over the moon happy about it.
How about you text me it, and then we'll talk about it at the end of the pod, just because we don't want our viewers that don't want spoilers to know.
I'm sending it because you will be very happy. This will make your night.
Anyways, so, yeah, again, we're not going to tune in to watch TNA for Aaron Rex or Moose or anything, but this was fun. It's fun to watch stuff like this and kind of, it's the silliness of wrestling and you know it doesn't take itself serious.
Yeah, there's definitely something fun about this. I think that there's definitely some positive, to me, this just seemed like a lot of fun, and just some weird, crazy wrestling that is like, oh, this will never be what pro wrestling is fully, but at the same time, this is a different direction. It's just some silly, harmless fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk about the spot monkeys of Ospreay and Ricochet, mm-hmm. and how people are like, they're killing the business. They're destroying what we built in pro wrestling. Well, no, they're not. And the same thing goes for Delete. It's something different. It's something entertaining, and you can just go off, have some fun, and let it be what it is. What's the harm in any of this?
I really admire Matt Hardy for doing this again, because he was a guy, like, he was always known as, like, you know, a lot of these tag teams, right? The big three, right? So Edge and Christian. Edge was the guy, but Christian had a really nice career. Christian was an NWA champion. He's a world champion. I would say Christian is a borderline Dave Meltzer Hall of Famer and a WWE No Question Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And then you look at the Dudley Boys. It's obvious that Bubba Bully Ray has far exceeded whatever Devon has done. Devon by himself is not a Hall of Famer in anything.
Yeah.
All respect to him. He's a good hand, but in the single side won singles titles in TNA, but never proved himself as a singles wrestler. And, you know, that comes down to booking as well, but sometimes you just got to get yourself over. I know for a long time, Devon was perceived to be the better single competitor. Am I wrong?
Yeah, no.
Because they gave him the gimmick. They gave him Reverend Devon, right?
Yeah.
Always trusted him more to be the guy that could do the singles run.
Yeah.
And then you looked at the Hardys, and, you know, Jeff arguably is, out of those core, Jeff is number two behind Edge? Or is he, like, even with Christian to you? As far as overness, I think Jeff is number one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
But as far as career aspects, where is Jeff ahead of Christian? Or is he below Christian for you?
I think he's ahead of Christian. I think
so. And then the question is, Matt Hardy. In WWE, fine career. The stuff... I think the highlight for Matt Hardy in WWE was, what, the light heavyweight stuff when he was losing weight and did Matt Hardy version 2?
I think the highlight for Matt was that small little feud with Edge when he came back and suddenly started randomly appearing. And
he had the Edge one, he had Matt Hardy version 2, and the MVP feud.
Yeah.
Those are probably the big three for him.
Yeah.
But those weren't enough to get him on the map. So going into those big... those tag team, you would probably put Bully Ray as number three.
Yeah.
Going into this year. And I think Matt...
Absolutely the number one breakout star from that.
And I think Matt now has jumped to arguably... Actually, Bully Ray was ahead of Christian. So I'd probably go Edge, Jeff, Christian, Bully Ray, Matt, and then Devon.
Yeah.
And now I think, has Matt jumped Bully Ray for you? Or has he jumped Christian?
Matt has jumped Bully Ray, but Matt, like, the biggest thing with, I don't want to jump the gun on the broken Matt Hardy just yet.
No, and that's why I'm trying to have a conversation about it, yeah.
Yeah. I definitely don't want to push him too far ahead yet, but let's be honest. There's only one reason we're talking about TNA right now.
Yeah, it's and look, we've heard awesome things about Bobby Lashley. I heard this is the best Bobby Lashley's looked in his entire career. Have Joel and I watched one thing of Bobby Lashley? Nope.
It's broken Matt Hardy. Like, I mean, the Roman candles, every... And now you have some staples, but you have some differences, and now you have... The first Elite Matt won, so it makes perfect sense that this is kind of the Empire Strikes Back of the Elite series.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get 6 parts, but don't let George Lucas near any of them.
Maybe the first three. Maybe the original three he can be near them.
An early Matt Hardy deleting things.
Don't need a prequel. He also was at Stanford this week.
Yeah. I mean, eventually I think there's a...
I think that was a troll job. I don't think he met with Vince McMahon, or however he says it.
McMahon or McMahon.
Yeah. I don't think he met with Vince or anyone from WWE because that would be illegal. I don't think, as much as they may love Billy Corgan and TNA, I wouldn't count your chickens that the Hardys will be in TNA this time next year.
I really have doubts. Like, it would make sense, and it makes sense for WWE to cash in on this broken Matt Hardy. Even if it meant broken Matt Hardy was in NXT, mm-hmm. I don't think Matt would really care all that much.
My question to you is, I want to know what the intellectual rights of this Matt Hardy thing is, and, like, can you just so blatantly steal broken Matt Hardy?
Well, it depends on who has it trademarked. Like,
right.
If Matt was smart, he'd have the trademark.
Because this is such a distinct gimmick, right? Like,
yeah.
AJ Styles can come in and be phenomenal. Bobby Roode came in and can kind of be a snobby rich guy, right?
Yeah.
Austin Aries can come in and be the cocky, I'm the best in the world kind of wrestler. And the Bucks can come in and just, you know, be who they are, good brothers, et cetera, et cetera. But this is such a different example of gimmick stuff. Because the gimmick is everything. Like, Bobby Roode, there's different elements of being the cocky guy. Shinsuke Nakamura, King of Strong Style, you can do whatever. This is such a distinct thing.
Oh, yeah. I personally think that even if you had Matt come in and he was fractured or shattered Matt Hardy,
mm-hmm.
but still have everything else pretty much the same, but he's just a different word, I don't think at the end of the day anyone's going to care. And he can come in, do his schnick, and he can cut the promos because... Like, I mean, you can't go and tell Cody Rhodes to not cut a similar promo to, like, what he cut in WWE. That's just not going to happen. That can't cause any problems. So Matt just has to... If Matt doesn't have the rights, then he will just... And, I mean, Miro is
Matt's middle name.
Is Matt? I thought it was Jeff's middle name.
That's Jeff's middle name, sorry. Yeah.
So he can be Brother Miro.
Yeah.
And you can keep all these things together, at least I think. I'm 99% sure that you will be able to keep certain things, but you'll probably have to change other things. But at the end of the day, you can change certain things. Like, AJ's gimmick has changed and evolved a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. He's still phenomenal, though.
Yeah.
But yes.
And Matt can still be broken. And it mm-hmm. still will be entertaining, and I think if you have him in NXT... I think there'll be a lot of fun there. I do think they'll probably be main roster, and having broken Matt Hardy, he can't.
Do you bring Matt if they come back? Do you bring Matt in and have him just? I think you have to have him as Matt Hardy at first, right? And then he gets broken, or do you have him just come in as broken Matt Hardy?
He's broken because he's been gone and he's seen so many. He's seen such disparageable things that he's
mm-hmm.
so fractured that he doesn't know what to do with himself.
So we don't hear the music like the WWE Matt Hardy music that we know.
No. And like, does this mean we get Vanguard 2.0?
I don't know, man. I hope so.
Vanguard 2.0.
I just want to be in the office when Vince McMahon is explained about broken Matt Hardy. Yeah, what? Your Gardner, what the fuck? What's in here, pal? You don't need a goddamn Gardner.
Oh my god.
That part would be the most interesting to me out of all.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
So yeah, there you go. The final deletion.
Delete.
So the TNA started off this podcast in a very special way, and I can't tell you the next time TNA will start off a podcast.
It's going to be a while.
Let's get to the UFC.
CM Punk.
I think you said that longer than he lasted in the match.
Yeah. Like, here's the thing. Here's the biggest thing I want to say on all of this. This is a guy that had the balls to step out of a perfectly comfortable job where he'll get paid millions. He can show, and he could mentally check out and just show up and do his job, and no one would bat an eyelash. The crowd would still love him. He'd still get a reaction. He'd still have matches. Hell, he'd probably have a world title reign, but he wouldn't. It wouldn't have been the same.
He would be wrestling Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Austin Aries, Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura. The list goes on and on right now.
And, you know, that probably would have re-sparked the love of wrestling a little bit for him, especially with Joe being around. Oh, God.
And Shinsuke. I don't think he's ever faced Shinsuke.
No, he has not. So he would get to face some of these guys that, you know, would be dream matches. But he decided to leave it all behind and go try something he's wanted to try.
As did his wife, who would be awesome right now.
Oh, God. That Raw roster needs some depth to it.
I mean, there's a rumor, apparently Emma's going to be back within the next few weeks. And
yeah.
My assumption is that the Dana stuff is leading to her coming back with Emma.
Which I'm perfectly cool with.
Yeah, but back to Punk.
You know, this is a guy that gave it up, walked out, walked away, said, I don't need it anymore, and took a chance. And that's really what it comes down to. This is a guy that went out and took a chance. He lost. Mm-hmm. He lost bad. He got his ass kicked. But when I look at that and I see the guy sitting there in the presser shaking hands with people as he's walking back, this is a guy that gave it everything he had. Now, would I want to see him fight again? No. I really
will he? 110%.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and here's the question now, Joel. If you're UFC, you wait for this buy rate. Because if the buy rate is what it's over what you think it's going to be, then he has to fight in the UFC again. Because he draws in viewers.
Yeah.
And if you cut him, he's going to Bellator. Scott Coker is going to pick him up like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because he picked up guys like Data 5000 and Kimbo Slice, and God rest Kimbo Slice's soul, but, you know, this, in a way he's similar to what Punk was, right?
Yeah.
Kimbo came from this backyard fight, and everyone thought he was so good, and backyard fight and professional wrestling are different, but they were both kind of these superstars in their genres, and then everyone's like, oh, well, they got to be good in mixed martial arts, and they weren't, but they were attractions. Punk would have been better from being an Ultimate Fighter, much like Kimbo was. But again, if Dana cuts him, I guarantee you Scott Coker will be on the phone with Punk immediately after.
Oh yeah.
So that's where the problem in lies. And here's the thing too, like this fight was a win-win for the UFC, because if Punk wins, awesome. But if he loses, they got to build a star like Mickey Gall, and now Mickey Gall was probably going to face Sage Northcutt, who's another great up-and-comer. He had a tough loss recently, but that's going to be a big fight, right? And if he beats Sage Northcutt, then all of a sudden Mickey Gall is on the ladder. So they built up, and they have this nice young star now off the name of CM Punk.
Yeah.
And so they got something out of this. If it was in Bellator, for example, which, by the way, has also added Chael Sonnen, how much would you like to see that match, Joel? Just the promos between Punk and Chael Sonnen.
Oh, yeah.
But even if it's not Chael Sonnen, he would maybe get him a few tin cans beforehand to face off against, so Punk could win and knock them out. And I know the guys from Rufus Sport are eager to get Punk back in and get him to go. Right now, though, he doesn't know if he wants to fight again, and we don't know if he will fight again. I'm assuming he will, though.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think that he will. But, I mean, this is a guy that took a chance. He lost. He fell flat. He lost. And, I mean, like you said, Mickey Gall's now a bigger star. This has helped propel him forward. And, I mean, you know, I just got to say, hearing Cult of Personality.
That's pretty cool.
You just hear it, and you see him walking out, and you're like, oh my god, I'm having wrestling flashbacks again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Josh, here's a question for you. CM Punk lost. Likelihood he's going to fight again. My biggest question, will we ever see CM Punk, Phil Brooks, in a wrestling ring again?
So he's how old right now?
I believe he's 39.
I think we'll see him wrestle again. Just the question out of all this is, though, is how many more fights is he going to take? And so if, let's say, he stays in the UFC, loses the next fight, if he loses the next fight in the UFC, does he say, like, okay, well, then I'm going to go to Bellator? Or after that, does he, like, I can't do this. I'm in my 40s. There's still a good chance I can be in wrestling and do something, whether it be Japan, going back to the WWE, which seems very unlikely, or going to Ring of Honor or something. That'll be the question. It's really what this fight situation is for him.
Hey, who knows? Maybe we'll see Kota Ibushi versus CM Punk in New Japan.
Maybe. He's got a lot of decision. I mean, he can go back to wrestling right now, go to Japan, be at Wrestle Kingdom, and be one of the top draws. He can go to Ring of Honor right now and face Adam Cole for the belt and be one of the top draws. He can make things out with Vince, try to get part-time, and figure that one out himself. We don't really know. I don't think if he goes back to WWE or anywhere in wrestling, it's going to be looked as a failure.
Yeah.
He did what a lot of us couldn't do. He tried to live his dream. He failed at it. He hasn't failed at a lot, right?
No.
And that's the thing for him. He hasn't really failed before. I would like him to maybe try one more fight personally.
Yeah.
You can't just go out on one fight. You know, it was his first fight. He was going to get squashed. We could tell this is coming just from the evolution of Punk and just the sparring sessions he was giving out a lot. And that's the other thing. These injuries, right? These injuries are only going to get worse. So you got to wonder, too, like, he's got at least 3-4 more good years in professional wrestling where he can really bank in money for him and AJ. And AJ herself would probably be welcome back, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I think you got to consider that. I mean, you know, we saw the payday. He got $500K, which a lot of fighters weren't too happy about. But guess what? CM Punk is a draw. Because of him, more people are going to know who you are.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, Travis Brown, I didn't know who the fuck you were. I know who you are now because you were on the same card with CM Punk. It's just the way it is. For a casual UFC viewer from like me, I didn't know who Travis Brown was. And now I know who Travis Brown is. It's that simple. You know, it's like when we watch WrestleMania, and for example, the rumor for WrestleMania this year is Rock versus Vin Diesel. Do Joel and I like that match? Not particularly, but people are going to be like, oh, Vin Diesel and The Rock are fighting on this? I'm going to watch this. And then they'll be like, oh, that guy with the face paint, that entrance is really cool. Who is it? Oh, that's Finn Balor. Oh, this chubby guy, I thought he would suck, but he's really good. Oh, yeah, that's Kevin Owens. Oh, who's this other chubby guy? Oh, that's Samoa Joe. Oh, this Asian guy who's doing all these crazy things. He's awesome. Who is it? Oh, that's Shinsuke Nakamura. And you build your audience by beating in those big draws. So I have no problem with him getting that big payday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think that, you know, it's funny because Punk complained about the part-timers and the pay.
That's because the reason he quit was because of Dave.
Yeah.
And The Rock. Like, and that is pretty humorous. That I will give you.
Right. And he's a, I guess you'd call it part-timer?
More or less. I mean, you can look at it like this, that this is the guy that is very hypocritical because he got, it's not even the part-time thing. It's, he got mad at guys like Batista and The Rock for jumping to the front of the line. You know, they didn't have to grind in the road and do the house shows all year. Rock just comes in and jumps to the front of the line. But you earn that right eventually, right?
Oh, yeah.
Punk has earned the right as a draw to have that. Brock Lesnar had earned the right to draw like that. There's other guys that, you know, that time you can be like, well, Punk deserves to be in a better place than The Rock or Daniel Bryan does. But guess what? The Rock's The Rock. He's going to be a better draw than a Daniel Bryan or a CM Punk. And it's just the way that it is. And it's just the same way with CM Punk. He's just a better draw.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, to me, he's a bigger draw than Stipe Miocic, the champion, right now. More people knew who he was than Stipe was.
Yeah. I'm nothing. Again, it's nothing. Nothing you've said is like, no, Josh, you're wrong. So.
Yeah.
The biggest thing with all of this, this delete of decay, delete or decay has thrown me off a little bit. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be dreaming about Rosemary a few times tonight, and I'm going to be like, scared.
And she reminds me of an Adam Sandler's movie, Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
When the grandma puts the kiss mask on. Kind of reminds you of that part. But, yeah, so, look, we'll see what happens in the future of CM Punk. I'd like to call that I predicted it exactly. Thank you very much. First round tap out by choke.
Oh, we're never going to hear the end of this now.
Yeah. And I also called AJ Styles winning the championship of the Styles Clash. Thank you very much.
You know, I'm just going
to... Joel is having such a good streak with the one fall belt. And then he lost it. And I am on top of the world right now. Although, I will admit, I was wrong about Zack Sabre Jr. and Kota Ibushi, which is where we go next.
Yeah. Here's the thing. All the fans that are mad and are booing TJ and were just unhappy and didn't get what you wanted. Here's the thing. WWE is not going to push someone that is not signed under contract. It is pure and simple, cut and dry, simple and easy. No argument.
Especially when you have a beautiful new belt.
That's purple.
Yeah.
So I sit there and I go, you know what? No. No, you don't get to sit there and be like, this should have been this way. No, it was the way that it was supposed to go. It was the way I thought it was going to go. I had him and Hod for a long time, but it ultimately went the way it needed to go, which is cool.
Because it was great. I mean, was the main event what we wanted it to be? And like, no. Was it the best match of the card? Arguably, it was the worst match of the card. But again, this is a card that had three possible match of the year candidates.
Oh, yeah.
Including the tag match.
Except for that pinfall. That pinfall threw me off a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. But TJP versus Kota, and the crowd, I didn't think anyone really thought Zach was going to win. I think I was kind of on an island by myself in that.
Yeah.
And I think they, I mean, Grand Metalik, I think it would have, all respect to him, I think he's a great performer. Would it not have been better than maybe have Tozawa in the finals? So you would have had a heel and a face?
It probably would have been better. Like, I personally would have had, I don't know who. Brian Kendrick was the closest thing to
being. But he couldn't go because he was on the same side.
Yeah, I would probably swapped him over. Because, I mean, Zach will eventually come to the Fed.
Yeah, he just has some personal stuff he has to do.
Yeah. So once he gets that done, then I can see him coming in.
The really cool thing next year is, Joel, we do this all over again, which sounds from what Regal was saying that we're going to be doing this again next year, is you have redemption stories for all people, right?
Yeah.
But Kota, if he comes back, I came so close.
Yeah.
Zack Sabre, I came so close. Grand Metalik, I came so close. So all these guys have these I was so close kind of stories, right? And then maybe add a Will Ospreay, a Ricochet, a Sprout, and, you know, things are looking up. And I thought it was also interesting, Joel, that Kalisto was ringside. I wouldn't be surprised if they just kind of put him to Raw and didn't say anything.
Yeah, there'll probably be a few swap arounds.
Because we haven't seen him on SmackDown for a while.
Yeah. But, I mean, I love...
Well, let's go by this match by match, okay, yeah, instead of going all over the place. So, start off, Zack Sabre Jr., Grand Metalik, awesome match. I was hoping that Zack would get it, but... Metalik had some tremendous high spots in this one.
Oh, yeah. It was a good match. I knew Zach wasn't going to win, but it definitely, both guys threw it out, and all it was one mistake that caused Zach. And it was the perfect story.
And then we go to Kota versus TJP, DJ match, Perkins. This was 5 stars to me, but... Damn it, still can't get 5 stars in WWE.
No.
But this was a tremendous match. I thought he told a really good story. And TJ Perkins goes on top, and I think at this point the crowd kind of swayed over a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think it was because I think some of the people in the crowd generally thought Dakota was staying with the I think people were upset because I think at that point they realized, oh, Coda's not going to be here anymore.
Yeah, Coda's
going. And I think that upset the people, and I think some people generally thought Coda was winning the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I thought it was smart of the company to showcase the title in the finals, because if they had showcased, we had suspected the title.
Yeah.
We hadn't had it confirmed. If they would have highlighted the title at the beginning of the tournament, then we would have been like, oh, it's only going to be guys that are signed.
Yeah.
So that definitely helped.
Yeah. And I mean, like, New Japan doesn't give anyone that's not at least under a deal or could be under a deal to the Best of the Super Juniors.
No.
So why should WWE be any different?
Exactly. Did you like the idea of having people perform that aren't under contracts?
Oh, yeah. No, it's great because you get to showcase some guys off and lure some guys in again for next year. It creates that opportunity for others to come in and be like, I work hard enough, and I get myself over, I can be there. So
you look at a guy like Cedric Alexander, who's a perfect example of that, right, Joel? Like, that's a guy that wasn't under contract. I don't think WWE had as much an interest to sign him, but busted his ass in two matches. Like, okay, yeah, we have to sign this guy.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, like, everyone's focus at the start was Coda Zack, Coda Zack, Coda Zack, Coda Zack. And then your focus started to shift to other people. You were still knowing who Zack and Coda were, and you were always impressed by Zack and Coda and the match with Perkins. But Perkins started to stand out. Alexander started to stand out. There were different Tozawa stood out. Gargano and Ciampa, their match at the start.
What was your favorite match overall?
Oh, Coda versus TJ.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. That God, I bought into a couple pinfalls. I was
the powerbomb.
Yeah.
The powerbomb. When Coda hit that, I'm like, yeah, he's done. Because you had done that story building, right? Yeah. You had done such a good job of even guys like Kendrick and Cedric who had fought and had these close encounters with Coda. It's like, once that powerbomb's hit, you're done. And when he hit that, I'm like, is he going to kick out of this? I'm like, but no one's kicked out of it yet. And when he kicked out of it, that was just like, Kevin Owens on Jericho's podcast talked about moments in matches. And that's just a moment I'm never going to forget, is that kick out spot.
Oh, yeah. Because in that moment, it solidified two things. It helped elevate TJ, but it also, in wrestling fans' minds, solidified that Coda is not coming to WWE.
And you know what I'm really looking forward to, Joel? When Braun Strowman hits a powerbomb onto TJ in 30 seconds and he doesn't kick out.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
So is it Strowman or Brock that will destroy all the cruiserweights and Vince will come out laughing?
I'm going to go Stro. But Brock could do it too, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I have hopes for this division that they kind of just let it do its thing. Give it some time and do some matches. You're obviously hurting for content for Raw.
Raw? Well, we'll come back to that. So, tag team match, really enjoyable match.
Yep.
I'm sure we'll get to something in NXT with these guys in a bit, but it looks like we're heading towards Ciampa and Gargano rematch versus The Revival.
Yeah, which we'll get to see, I think.
Yeah, well, again, we'll talk about NXT at the end, but I thought Alexander worked here. Noam Dar, who I really wasn't a huge fan of before, has started to really impress me. And going to NXT or Raw live in Toronto, I'm really excited to chant Dar, 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 Dar.
Oh, I would love that.
It's a great chant. And the main event, again, was this a masterpiece? This, you know, we built up to this final match. It was a fun match, about a 4-star match. The main event of everything was TJP versus Coda, though.
Oh, yeah.
The Frankensteiner that Metalik hit, though, was insane.
You know, it's going to be very hard for these guys not to get over on the main roster.
Metalik has the chance to be what Kalisto hasn't been, the new Rey Mysterio.
Like, you just go out and you do your schnick, and people are going to buy in.
So, okay, so we talked about Raw's kind of been down a little bit lately. SmackDown has just been a breeze to watch. And everyone is really fun in their place. The women feel fresh and fun in their place. The tag team division feels fresh. The world title picture feels fresh. Intercontinental, even like Miz and Dolph are doing their thing, but still feels like a program I care about. I care about almost everything on SmackDown. Yeah. I can't say the same for Raw. I'm hoping that certain people don't show up on Raw. I'm hoping that I mean, I'm one of the few. I'm hoping that I don't hear Kaz talk. I'm hoping that I don't have to see the Shooting Stars for too long. I'm hoping that I don't see Darren Young and Titus. the 2 hours, Joel, it really felt more than ever this week that the 2 hours are so important. But I'm hoping that going forward with the cruiserweights, that hour will just be like, okay, well, this is a cruiserweight hour.
Yeah.
Or something.
The Raw is a marathon.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the cruiserweights kind of break that up a bit.
Do you think we're just going to get a straight rematch, CJP versus Metalik on Raw?
We might, but we... You know who's the perfect challenger? You were talking about who's the heel, who's the
Cedric.
Fan. No.
Who do I say?
Well, you're wrong.
It's Tozawa.
No, it's the Brian Kendrick.
Right, you had brought that up. I didn't bring that up.
No, yeah,
I want him versus Cedric Alexander.
I think that'd be a lot of fun, but I think
Kendrick makes the most sense, so I agree with you.
Yeah, I think Kendrick's where they're
going. It's a known name. People know who Kendrick is.
And I mean, they could go out and have a really good match. They could just hit the burning hammer in the middle of Monday Night Raw. That's all.
I think that's going to happen.
I don't know what Vince would do.
I think you want to get the belt to a heel, and then sometime, I think, as far as succession goes, it'll go to TJP for however long he has it, and then it'll go to a heel, and then whoever that heel is, they'll end up feuding with Gargano or Cedric, and one of those two will be the third champion.
Yeah. Well, you know what you need to do? You need to have Ciampa win the title, heel on Gargano, and then you have a program heading into WrestleMania that will be, in one word, glorious.
Yes. Yes. I think it's... I would like to see Kalisto versus Metalik, so I'm hoping that Kalisto is going over there.
Yeah.
And I'd also wouldn't mind if Enzo jumped into the cruiserweight side as well.
You know who...
If that means I have to deal with Cass in the main event, then unfortunately I'll bite the bullet on that. I think Enzo would be better fitted in that area right now.
Wait till you have Neville versus some of these guys.
Yeah, that's the other big thing, too, is Neville finally gets to be in a position where he wants to go. Maybe that's what we're going to get on Raw, is Neville versus TJP.
Yeah, and that would be fantastic. That would establish TJP. It would, I think, it'd be a lot of fun, you know. In a lot of ways, it'd be fun if Sammy worked with some of these crews.
That's what I was going to say. Like, is Sammy in this? Is Jericho in this?
Oh, I'd love to see Jericho come out and be like, I'm a cruiserweight. That's who you have TJP face.
I'm the original cruiserweight.
Yeah, and then that's the match. And then you have on Raw TJP versus Jericho to establish TJP as he beats Jericho.
We were talking about veterans that we wouldn't mind seeing in the Cruiserweight Championship next year. I got one for you. I wouldn't mind seeing Sean Waltman back.
Yeah, I don't think he physically can do it.
I thought he was still competing.
I think he is, but he's not on any sort of level.
No, Hunter wouldn't want his friend to come out and embarrass himself.
No.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I had heard that he was still doing good, so maybe the report was false.
I think he might be, but I just don't know if he can.
Not to the standards that Tajiri and Kendrick were at.
Yeah.
They did re-sign Scotty Too Hotty and Grandmaster Sexay, by the way.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they'll be inserted as a tag team, or they'll be put into the cruiserweight division.
They could.
What would you prefer them to be? Tag team or cruisers?
Cruisers, you can use them. I mean, you're going to have 32 guys next year that are... Do you use cruiserweights from Raw for the tournament as well? Next year? Like a Cedric?
We'll have to find out. It depends where everybody is at that time. Like, Cedric to me has the big... Cedric and Gargano have the biggest possibilities to be big breakout stars.
Oh, yeah.
Especially... Gargano's number one on my list. I think Cedric has some just riveting moves that kind of like... He reminded me of Brian when I saw Brian or AJ. That's like, he's got so many good moves, it's hard not to like him.
Yeah.
But Gargano is just...
the ultimate of baby faces we haven't seen since Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. And you know who else could, well, who is kind of on the flip side of these guys, who I think needs a little bit of time and a little bit of seasoning, but could definitely start to elevate themselves, is Rich Swann.
Rich Swann is one, and I think Dar is one.
Yeah.
I mean, Noam Dar getting signed to WWE and being on Monday Night Raw at 21 years old, Joel.
23, I think.
I thought he was 21.
Let me check out Dar's age. Dar.
Because I was pretty sure he was 21 years old.
Dar. He's 23. Dar. He was born my year.
Still, it's rather young. It's Paige's age.
Yeah. So one guy is recording a podcast and one guy is on Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrestled in TNA.
Did he?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
So he was in TNA.
All right, well, since the K took so long, we got to move along with the subject. Paige. So she released a statement, which I will read out really quickly here. But so the speculation had gone along that she had quit, or that she had sunk. What's the word I'm looking for? She had seen out legal counsel. That's the word I'm looking for. And we were all wondering what that was about, but it was for nothing. So this is what she said on her Instagram page. First, I'd like to thank all my fans for their love and support the last few weeks. Let me begin by saying that the rumors that I'm leaving WWE are completely false. I certainly look forward to returning back to action at some point once my injury is treated and on a healthy return. Although I was disappointed by my suspension, I respect the WWE wellness policy. However, let me be clear that I was not suspended for failing a drug test. It was merely due to a procedural issue. I took the test. I passed it. I arranged said test to happen after I wasn't at home when Aegis contacted me, so I drove 200 miles to do it. Unfortunately, I didn't do it in time, according to Aegis. I'm assuming that's like their USADA. Yeah. Once again, thank you for all the love and support. So she's saying she didn't fail a test, she just didn't file it in time. So now we have Eva Marie that didn't have something done correctly, and Paige didn't have something correctly. So before we get to the Paige stuff, do you applaud the WWE for just being like, these are the rules and we're not going to bend them? Yeah, or do you think there should be a little bit of leeway being like, well, that wasn't exactly a failure?
No, I think that they totally need to respect and honor the rules. And mm-hmm. there are certain rules, then that's the way it is.
I think, too, with Eva especially, all respect to Paige, she's obviously a better wrestler, but Eva was at the pinnacle of the biggest push she's ever had.
Yeah.
And we know how much they want to push Eva Marie here. Funko Pop was coming out. It was SummerSlam. She was starting to get buzz, and they pulled the strings from Eva at her biggest push ever. I think she'll be back pretty fast here, actually, too, yeah. I think one more SmackDown probably without Eva.
I think so, yeah. It feels like it's been about a month, so.
Yeah, so, and with Paige, again, she has to be healthy, and there's the Rio stuff, and we should mention after this, she did post a picture with Del Rio. Del Rio debuted on the indie scene on What Culture Pro Wrestling tonight, yeah. So Del Rio is gone, and he's going to do 2 or 3 more years in wrestling and then retire, but it seems like this is kind of an AJ Lee, CM Punk situation right now, where he's doing his own thing, and she's staying around, and it's been a tough little bit for Paige. Ever since the Divas Revolution started, she has not been a benefactor of it.
No.
She had the one feud with Charlotte, and that's really it. She hasn't been a big part at all.
Yeah, like, she just kind of, it's a shame the way things have kind of played out for her, but I mean, yeah. You know, it is what it is. I'm excited to have her back. They definitely need to have some depth. That's the biggest thing that they're
missing. That's Raw's biggest problem right now. Yeah. SmackDown, whatever you want to say about the women, you care about what Carmelo does and Bliss does and Naomi does. Those girls are all over at their various positions.
Oh, yeah.
And the Raw women are not. We saw them in their segment on Raw, and there was up and down feelings on that. But you just don't feel the way that you do with the SmackDown women. Really, they have the SmackDown 6 as far as women go, as far as I'm concerned. Just maybe not performing, but just you care about each individual woman there.
Yeah.
They've gotten me to care about Naomi. Which I could care less about Naomi, but the entrance is over, man.
It's a big part. It's a big deal. And it's the glow.
And, like, let's be honest. It's going to be a shitty, terrible match, but I care about Nikki versus Carmella. And I do kind of want to see that match. Not for ring quality, but I kind of want to see Nikki get the better of this heel that's been destroying her. And that's what wrestling at its core has always been about.
Yep.
Is you want to see the babyface get comeuppance on the heel.
And I think we'll finally get to see it.
Anything else? Well, so, well, really quickly, though, going back to Paige, your thoughts on this whole thing?
On the Paige situation, you know, it seemed like they were ready to pull the plug on Paige.
To the point that Meltzer had been informed that she was fired. Apparently, he tweeted this. Meltzer had been informed that she was fired, and that it was going to be on Ready to Go for the Tuesday, and they changed their mind at the last second.
So I think, obviously, Paige is a great wrestler.
Total Divas played a part in that, for her not getting fired, by the way.
Total Divas and wrestling, and seeing how thin the women's division is for Raw. Kind of has you going, well, fuck, we kind of need her. So I think they will end up bringing her in.
Yeah.
Having her work. I don't know how long she'll last in the Fed. But
no, especially depends how long she's with Del Rio for, right?
Yeah, that's another big thing. Now there's some separation, and I don't know. It's going to be interesting, but the whole Paige situation is it's done. Well, it's not done yet, but it's into the next step. She's clearly not fired, so, you know, that take that for what you will, and just see what happens. I think she's a good wrestler, and I think she just needs to kind of get back on that path, that steady, moving forward path. Total Divas is a huge help to it. So
I'm interested to see what Del Rio's like on that.
Yeah, or how much they use a Del Rio on that.
Mm-hmm. Are you more excited for Paige to be back or for Emma to be back?
I think Emma.
Me too.
I'm
really excited. I felt so bad for her injury because she was starting to finally, I kind of like this evil Emma gimmick.
Yeah, and it seemed like it was going, and then it just kind of, but Zax can't be happy.
Why is that?
Because
she's on Raw?
Yeah.
Yeah. Another note about a Raw woman roster member. So you and I had talked about Summer Rae, and then we hadn't seen Summer Rae for quite some time. Apparently she's having time off right now. She's focused on the fashion side of her life, and she was at a lot of fashion shows and everything. That could be the next career for Summer Rae.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think she's a terrible wrestler.
No.
But she's not obviously their best.
No. But she loves her wrestling.
She really does. She grew up as a fan in Chicago watching, and that's the thing that's always kind of tugged at my heartstrings, that she is a fan of this. So that's why we haven't seen her for some time now. No update of when we will see her back, if we will see her back. But like you said, you know, I think she's a better competitor than Carmella.
Yeah.
And it just adds to the depth, and you have more women on that roster that you care about. You know, like, that was why I kind of liked to see Alicia Fox this week. You know, the segment, Nia cannot talk. Nia needs Paul Heyman.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she just cannot. Her voice is so annoying. And it's not even that. It's just China's voice was annoying, but China could cut an okay promo. Nia cannot cut a promo to save her life. But when she gets in the ring, it's like, oh, that spot against Alicia Fox? Love that. But she cannot cut a promo to save her life.
Yeah. It was not a moment where I was like, oh, yay. I was like,
And then you look at someone like Alexa Bliss on Talking Smack, perfectly good job of cutting a promo and being a heel and doing that. You know, she still needs a little bit of work. Even Carmella, better talker than Nia Jax. So something that she needs a little bit of work on. What did you think going to Raw of that segment with the women? It seemed to be a little bit of a divide in the internet.
Like, that gif's going to get played out over and over and over and over and over and over again, but...
Which one?
You're talking Raw? The segment! I know.
Are you thinking about the box segment?
No, I'm thinking about when she threw Alicia Fox into the sidewall.
I was talking about the women with the promos that I had no problem with, but you were telling me when I was watching Monday Night Football that the online side of things weren't too... into it.
Yeah, there was some hate on Bayley, calling her a Macho Man ripoff.
Well, have you not seen Bayley for the past 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, she's fantastic in the ring. She's the next female John Cena.
Bailey's had these streamers, man.
Yeah, just shut up.
If that's all you're going to go is that with Bailey, then I think the biggest story of that is the Dana and Charlotte thing and Dana finally slapping her.
Yeah.
And again, it's to that theme. It's like, I want to see Dana beat Charlotte.
Yep.
I want to see her get her comeuppance. And I think maybe that's where we're going. Yes. Yeah. So I think Sasha's going to beat her. I think we're getting Sasha and Bailey in Survivor Series, Joel. Yeah. I think we're getting Dana and Charlotte as a separate feud as well.
Well, as to people that are going to see Survivor Series, am I going to complain?
No.
Nope. There'll be fans, oh, they should have waited till WrestleMania. While we're on a little plane going to Toronto going, yay!
The double pin. Yeah, that was... I hope they come back and hit on that, and Bailey's like, your shoulders were down, too. Hopefully they come back to that. That was... I don't know if that was done on purpose or done by accident.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Because the announcers really didn't hit on that very much.
Yeah, they kind of skirted around it, so...
Yeah, yeah. What else from Raw? Jericho is just on fire right now.
Oh, him and Sammy. That program, Josh. Oh, I can't wait.
It's going to be a fun match. It's been a fun program. Jericho, you know, we talked about Miz being most improved. Jericho may get most improved for me.
It just, like, he kind of skirted off there with his second.
That's actually maybe the runner-up for best gimmick of the year, next to Matt Hardy.
Yeah, the scarf and the...
He just is so good. I don't know any other person in professional wrestling that's been so good at recreating himself. Maybe The Undertaker. Yes. But Jericho's better than even The Undertaker doing it.
He just constantly finds a way to make himself relevant in a...
You know how Max Landis did the Triple H thing?
Yeah.
I'd love him to do one on Chris Jericho.
Oh, God, the evolution of Jericho would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy has gone through so many, like, peaks and valleys in his career that now every time you get to see him is like a little joy and treat to be like, yay, Jericho.
Cass and Enzo. Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say that Sammy brought some fire in the promo. Ultimately,
I really like what I saw from Sammy in that. Yeah, for sure.
I can't wait to see both of them go at it. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's good. This will be a feud that can help rebuild Sammy a bit.
Yeah, I think this might go to Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
And then we're hoping, fingers crossed, Jericho KO.
Oh, God, if that is the one of the main events for Survivor Series, if it's John Cena and AJ Styles and fucking Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho... That all the money we have spent to get to Toronto to watch this wrestling will all be well worth it. On top of seeing Shinsuke Nakamura.
How long till our viewers get sick of hearing us about our Toronto trip?
They're already probably tired.
Yeah, too bad. You have to deal with it. It means you get 3 live pods.
Yeah.
So Kevin Owens also cutting a great promo. Seth still seems like a heel.
Yeah.
So that's weird.
But that KO promo was really good.
So good.
Redesign, rebuild, replace.
I think the problem is that Seth has a problem with the authority and with Stephanie, but he's taking it out on Foley.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work as well. If Stephanie was there, everything he said reversed to Steph works to Foley, no.
Yeah. Foley, how can you hate Mick Foley?
Mick Foley's universally loved. Like, I don't think any one of them, maybe Ric Flair, has as much universal love as Mick Foley.
Yeah, Mick Foley is just, like, you see him in his beard and Santa Claus. He's just happy, and he gave so much to us that, yeah. Like, the Seth thing's still a little, I think they're still waiting for the full babyface turn.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a great Kevin Owens promo, and Kevin Owens beat Roman Reigns.
Thank you, Rusev.
And Rusev got a big chant going in.
He did.
So, Josh, you know, we've jumped around a lot here, but I'm going to do a little bit of jumping around, but it's for a good thing.
Sure.
John Cena is on SmackDown, which we didn't expect.
No, we thought he'd be shooting his Fox show.
Yeah. And yet he gets cheered by the Philly crowd, which is universal.
Cheered, dude, gets a reaction. Doesn't matter.
he got a very positive reaction. Roman Reigns, your next face, and they're cheering for the Russian villain, the Bulgarian villain, sorry.
And the Canadian villain.
Yeah. It's all these foreigners that are coming in and causing a ruckus in WWE, and Roman Reigns is still Roman Reigns. So,
yeah.
I know John Cena and Roman are in two different spots in their career and very different things, but I mean, it just
I think we've kind of learned that the Roman Reigns project is never going to be what it ever will be again.
Yeah.
I think he's winning the U.S. title at Clash of Champions.
That keeps him away from Kevin Owens. Keep that in mind.
Poor
Ruru, though.
I don't know what'll happen for WrestleMania with him. I'm assuming he'll win the U.S. title, and then him and Seth will fight for the U.S. title for a bit. And then maybe, I don't know, they'll come back or something. We'll see. Because Cesaro still has his title opportunity, and we're presuming he's going to win Monday, tie it up, win at Clash of Champions, and I know it's Clash of the Champions. She should say Clash of Champions.
Yeah.
And then win, maybe face Kevin Owens at Hell in the Cell.
Yeah, which will be fun, which will be a lot of fun. And who would imagine we'd be talking about the two of them going for titles?
No kidding. Joel, you know what we haven't talked about yet?
What?
AJ Styles is the fucking WWE champion.
He is one of three, four guys.
Buddy Rogers, the Nature Boy. Well, both Nature Boys, I guess. He's the first. Oh, yeah, he was a Nature Boy, though. If you're a Nature Boy, you've held an NWA and a WWE championship. Nature Boy Buddy Rogers, Nature Boy Ric Flair, and when he was in TNA for a bit, he was a Nature Boy, the phenomenal AJ Styles.
Oh, God.
One of the gimmicks that pushed a lot of people away from TNA.
Yeah. Well, AJ Styles has proven if you are truly...
But Joel, I'm going to squash him because I'm the big guy!
And I'm going to promote a shirt that has CM Punk on it.
Stupid!
And that's where that ends. AJ Styles deserves everything he's gotten. And I think this is a good way to kind of come to an end on this podcast, at least on the big stuff. AJ Styles is the best wrestler in the world. AJ Styles is a little guy. WWE looked over. He went over to New Japan, got himself over.
If he didn't go to Japan, I don't think he ever ends up in WWE.
No. And AJ
Styles, maybe NXT.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah, and I don't like AJ Styles is a phenomenal heel. He's a phenomenal talent. He deserves everything that he's gotten. Vince is over the moon happy with him. Vince felt like AJ did a lot of the work for the Backlash match. Like,
it's weird with Dean too, because this week on SmackDown, I felt like I saw a Dean Ambrose that I like. And was it a heel turn by Dean Ambrose?
I don't know. Like, can you really have a heel turn against John Cena?
I don't know, but that's what a lot of people are questioning, is if Dean has turned heel.
Well, if Dean starts attacking other people that are 100%... If he attacks Heath Slater, then we know he's a heel.
He's or Apollo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But AJ Styles is your WWE champion. He was challenging for the IWGP Intercontinental title in January.
Mm-hmm.
Against this little guy in NXT. We don't really care about him.
Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, God. I can't wait to see him live. Anyway.
It's one of the biggest. It's one of the things that Randy says that we. It's our favorite catchphrase here at One Fall. The cream always rises to the top. You can bitch, you can complain about your position on the card, and yes, there is a few people that have that. Cesaro is one of them, but more less than not, the cream in the WWE will always rise to the top. Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, and now AJ Styles. TJ Perkins, for example, which is one of the greatest stories ever of this guy being broke and homeless and all that. But if you're a good talent, you will rise to the top of the card. Chris Jericho showed that when he came in as well. Vince didn't believe in him. He thought he'd just be a mid-card guy. And now Chris Jericho is arguably one of the top 10 performers in the history of the business.
Yep.
And AJ came in, Vince saw him as a mid-card guy. We didn't think he could talk, and he's one of our top five talkers this year. The cream rises to the top, man. Simple as that.
Yeah. You couldn't have said it better. Absolutely everything about this week is about the cream rising to the top.
Kevin Owens is another one. I think with Vince and the WWE, it's not like professional sports, right? I use Tim Tebow, for example, right now. Tim Tebow wants to play professional baseball. Well, the Mets signed him, but he's playing down in single A.
Yeah.
If he is good enough, he will make Major League Baseball. Yeah. But he has to grind his way up from single A to double A to triple A to the major leagues. But if Tim Tebow is good enough, the cream will rise to the top and he will play for the New York Mets. And it was the same way with AJ Styles. He didn't have to go through NXT and everything like that, unlike Samoa Joe, for example, but just like Tim Tebow has to rise through the ranks like that, the same thing that happened with AJ Styles. He started at the bottom at the WWE and rise all the way to the top. Yeah. Took a few losses that were questionable early, and now he's one of the best in the company. He should have been the first overall draft pick, personally.
Oh, yeah. He started from the bottom, and now look at where he is.
And we still haven't got Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles on a WWE television yet, by the way.
I can't wait. Like,
it's ridiculous.
You know, we live in a world where it's crazy to think, because AJ Styles is... It's crazy, because I sit there and I kind of look at it and I kind of go, I can't believe what has all become of WWE. A lot has changed. A lot of people talked and bitched and complained about the way WWE was booked, the way it was positioned, the way things were going, and now it's different.
I think this brand split, too, I think it's been awesome. I think it's been really awesome. The shows now are starting to finally feel different, and you're starting to develop certain things for different people. I love SmackDown for what it has, and I'm starting to learn to develop other guys. And same with Raw. I never feel like any show, like, obviously you can always add more talent, but I never like, oh, they need to have, like, Raw needs to have Roman and Seth and Kevin Owens and Cesaro, and or Raw needs to have Cena and AJ and these guys. I just love them in their separate spots. I love the brand split right now. Some people will vehemently disagree with me. I think it's been perfect. It's exactly what I wanted from it.
Mr. Perfect would be proud.
What do you think so far of the brand split? We're almost like up 2 months into it.
I thought, you know, it's worked in some ways. There's definitely some holes in it, and it hasn't been perfect, but nothing in wrestling is going to be perfect.
It is nice, though, Joel, right? Having the different brands, and like you wouldn't be watching SmackDown right now. It's nice to watch SmackDown. No, this is a different show.
Yeah.
And specifically the tag teams and those girls, like Heath Slater and Rhino are not getting this opportunity.
No, oh, God, no.
And the Usos don't get as big of an opportunity with their heel turn, which has been phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
And Alexa Bliss and Carmella aren't getting the shine. Becky Balboa, respect to Becky Lynch. We talked about the women. Becky Lynch got her first women's championship. Well deserved.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's crazy. Like, people are getting exactly what they deserve.
Yeah, they really are. And to me, it's a good time to be a wrestling fan. I saw a graph. Since the ratings are going to be hurt, Monday Night Football, it doesn't matter. It's always hurt it, regardless. Oh. SmackDown almost beat Raw this week. But I think the really interesting thing is I saw a graph, and it kind of showed how they had the Nielsen ratings, and it's like the up, down, up, down, up, down.
Yeah.
Social media for WWE, for SmackDown and Raw separately, has gone through the roof since the brand split.
Wow.
It's been much higher for both brands since the brand split than it has when it was just two shows. They're higher peaks because you treat each show specially, right? Yeah. Raw's special has its own things, and SmackDown special has its own things as well.
Wow. Like that?
Yeah.
I did not know that. That's a very good bit of information to know, like just the Nielsen ratings. But at the end of the day, like you said, cream rises to the top.
Sorry to interrupt you. I didn't find Backlash really dragged, except for the Bray and Kane part.
Yeah, I think I enjoyed the opening to the Miz and Ziggler match was definitely a rib.
Yeah, it was.
But you know what? That was a good, fun, psychology-based wrestling match.
Yep.
And it progressed the feud forward. We got the Rick Martel spray.
Mm-hmm. And Heath Slater, man.
Yep. His kids are finally going to be able to eat. What's the next feud for them? The Usos, right?
I would assume so. They kill the Ascension.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
But, you know, Josh, all in all, I know that there's a few things that we didn't hit on with everything, but at the end of the, if there's anything that we can take away from this week, is that the cream rises to the top. There's a lot of things where we can sit there and be like, we can complain as wrestling fans, we can complain a lot, and we do. We really do complain a lot. But AJ Styles is their champion. Heath Slater has gotten over organically. He did it himself. There was no... The office didn't push him. He wasn't getting shoved down our throats. He did it himself. And they rewarded
him. By the way, and James Ellsworth is over.
Yeah.
Like, this guy came on SmackDown, and I was like, I didn't really want to see him team with up with AJ, I'll be honest. But I was like, oh shit, this guy's back? And then I like the little feud between Daniel Bryan and Mick Foley on Twitter. It's like, he's broad property, goddammit!
It's just little things like that that elevate these guys, that make these small little attractions worthwhile, and it just shows that they're starting to find that pulse again a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That they miss, they still miss, but they're starting to circle in on that pulse. Like, it was smart to bring him back, because people... Social media is a lot easier to kind of see the pulse a little bit better. And he was there, broken... Like, there are two common threads in this podcast, is the things that have gotten over because of the internet, broken Matt Hardy, and cream rising to the top, and both kind of go together. I mean, Paige comes back. Paige has a lot of talent. I think Paige could get herself over again and really propel herself forward. I mean, Sasha came back, the crowd was behind her, and she's getting a title shot. Bayley is just Bayley, and every time I see Bayley, I'm instantly happy. TJ Perkins.
Alexa Bliss made herself look like Harley Quinn, and now she got a huge pop because of that.
Yeah. Just knowing what you need to do to get yourself to that next level.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, AJ Styles. We have talked about him so much. I don't want to keep going in circles on AJ Styles on this podcast.
He's the MVP. You can say he's most improved as well. Like, he's everything right now. He's the best wrestler in the world. It's funny though. People that don't like wrestling are not. I want to rephrase it. People that are outsiders to wrestling, the first thing they point out is the freaking haircut, man.
Yeah.
We were watching it with Devin Steele from Fresh Take, and. And he's like, I just don't like this guy's haircut. It's the first thing, right? It's the first thing that stands out. He needs to get a haircut.
Well, as a heel, he can keep it, because generate more heel heat.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
All right, so this is where we will cut off and say bye for those who don't want spoilers.
Yeah, one thing on NXT, Joe beat the hell out of Nakamura, ambulance.
Yeah.
Cool spot.
And Joe drove away saying get better security at William Regal, which was a great line.
Nice. So... Yes, so this is where we're going to end. It's the end of the show. And we're going to be talking NXT tapings and spoilers. So if you don't want to know any of that, then get out of here and check everything out on the Stick Boy, Fresh Take, We Talk Podcast. And we're going to give you spoilers in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You've been warned, Joel.
Oh boy, Josh. There's a lot to go through. So let's...
Glorious!
Well, don't get ahead of yourself. I shouldn't have sent that text. So Jack Gallagher beat Noam Dar in the dark match.
Okay.
So show one has Joe talking about Nakamura being out 6 to 12 weeks. Joe said he doesn't want to wait for the rematch, says he should just be handed the title, and he's really getting on Regal. Austin Aries defeated 1C Laura.
So, 1 second. So you think they're stretching this out to take over then?
Yeah. I think they're stretching it out.
Okay, so we're getting Nakamura, Joe.
Let me run pretty hard.
Okay.
Austin Aries defeated 1C Lokan with the last chancery.
Sure. So
that's done. But Austin
He's been winning a lot.
Yeah. Austin Aries cut a promo calling out Hideo, who comes out, but Aries does the heel thing of running away, which is a typical heel thing. Billy Kay defeated Aaliyah via big boot.
We will see Aleah in at NXT because she's from Toronto. In a dark match or something, Aleah will be at TakeOver.
Oh, yeah. The crowds, there were some people in the crowd trying to chant, "This is filler," but they got booed and shot down, and the rest of the crowd booed them for it.
Good, good.
So Cedric Alexander defeated Andy Cian Almas via the lumbar check.
Dude needs to go. This is getting bad.
But wait, you jump ahead too much.
Okay, I'll shut up.
Yes. Post-match, almost teases a heel turn, but hugs Cedric, so we think, oh, all's good and well. Regal announces the 2016 Dusty Tag Team Classic final at Toronto, which we will both be very excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Dillinger defeated D'Angelo Dawkins via...
my dude!
Yeah. Post-match, Bobby Roode comes out and has a chat with Ty, proposes Ty. They team up together for the Dusty Classic. Ty accepts, calling themselves Perfectly Glorious. So now you can talk...
Two Canadians! One from Niagara, one from Toronto.
It just works out perfectly. It's a little more. The revival versus the Early Brothers in a supposed Dusty Classic round one match. Samoa Joe comes out and destroys the early lads. Revival leave, no match. Joe tells Regals to make his decision or there'll be more victims. So we got Joe on a rampage.
Okay.
Ember Moon defeated Mandy Rose. Authors of Pain defeated...
So we have a single match for Mandy Rose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Authors of Pain defeated Mr. 450 and Ben Dijo Cruz. So Authors of Pain are running through people. Asuka defeated Liv Morgan in a squash match. Asuka says nobody...
Yeah, Liv Morgan called her out this past week.
Yeah. Hideo defeated Linsa Dorado from the CWC via the Go to Sleep. Aries came through the crowd attempting a sneak attack. It was not very effective, and Hideo sent him away. So
that's TakeOver
Aries,
then.
Yeah, I think Aries is kind of...
Oh, that's going to suck to see live.
Yeah, no kidding. Show 3, Dusty Rhodes' first round match. Authors of Pain defeated the Bollywood Boys.
So much for the Bollywood Boys.
Yeah. Rich Swann defeated Patrick Clark with a Rick... And Patrick Clark currently has a Rick James-esque gimmick.
So that was Patrick Clark's first singles match. So Mandy Rose had a singles match, and Patrick Clark had a singles match, but Big Josh and Sarah Lee have yet to be on NXT television.
Yep. Yeah.
Daria has no singles match yet? Come on!
Peyton Royce defeated Danielle Carmella via the Bridging Exploder Suplex.
That was the girl that was on The Bachelor.
Yeah. Samoa Joe defeated Dan Matha. Okay. Joe asked who's next to die and threatens Regal again to bring him Nakamura or bring him the belt.
Wow.
The Revival defeated Cedric Alexander and Andy Cia Almas. So Cedric and Andy formed a tag team, but then Almas, who is in desperate need of some sparks, turned on Cedric and beat him down.
Okay, I think that's good for him. He needs that.
Yeah. So, Rude and Dillinger fought Sanity, and Rude left Dillinger to get beaten up. So
Sanity was the take? Was that the thing that got teased?
Yeah. So Sanity is apparently Alexander Wolf, Sawyer Fulton, and this little guy called Eric Young.
Oh.
And Eric Young seems to be the leader of Sanity.
Okay, and they beat Bobby?
No, they beat Dillinger. Bobby walked away. Bobby left on his own. So.
Did they win the tag match or no?
No, Sanity won.
So Bobby Roode didn't win the tag match?
No. Bobby was walked away, so Bobby left Dillinger high and dry.
Okay, so they're going to face each other, you think, then?
I think that's going to be a little program for Bobby for a little bit. That could be.
That's fine. Again, that's two Canadians facing each other. I'm perfectly fine with that.
That's going to get a really good crowd reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And you turn Ty Dillinger face, and I mean, you could probably have him challenge for the title at one point or another.
Two Ontario guys, man.
Yeah. The next and final episode, Billy Kay versus
Little Nemo. What date is this on?
I don't know. They don't say the dates. All it says is the number of shows. So Billy Kay defeated Liv Morgan, so Liv Morgan's on a little bit of a losing streak. TM61 defeated Tino Sabatelli and Riddick Moss. Buddy Murphy and Wesley Blake were about to have a match until this little guy called Samoa Joe came out and destroyed both of them. So Joey's just been destroying people. Joe says said the time is up. Regal brings him bring him Nakamura or bring him the NXT title. The show will be shut down until he gets what he wants. Knock comes out with a neck brace. You're not going to like the rest of this, Josh, so just brace yourself. This dashes some of our dreams for NXT TakeOver because it's not what has been reported yet. But Knock just takes off.
The last one is October 12th, by the way.
Okay, October 12th. So this is October 12th show. Knock takes off his brace, and he brawls with Joe and Nakamura. Hits his Kinshasa or Bomae. I'm going to go Bomae. And ends the show with Standing Tall over Samoa Joe. So,
wow. So it's got to be a takeover if it's going up to October 12th. That's a month away still, though.
Yeah. So
I do wonder if they do the match ahead of time and maybe Ty and Bobby do something and then it's a number one contendership and then Bobby wins and faces Nakamura. But the way they're building up Nakamura and Joe, it seems like a big match you would want to do at a takeover.
Yeah, like that. I think that.
It's one or the other. It's either Nak is facing Bobby Roode or Nak is facing Joe at takeover.
I think Nak.
I'd probably say he's facing Bobby.
No, I think takeover is going to be. I think it's going to be Joe. I think they're stretching it out. They're stretching out too long. So.
Well, that and Hideo and Austin, right?
Yeah. So, which I'm perfectly cool with.
By the way, No Way Jose not on any of this.
No Way Jose was not on any of this. But, I mean, they're starting to do something with Almas, which is good. I think he's a talent that you need to start to kind of build up. I think it would have been hugely beneficial if you had him debut in the CWC. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. And I think this is your chance to rehab him. Because this is what NXT is finding his footing, finding his place.
Also, Eric Young is masked. Insanity.
No, I saw pictures and he had no mask on. Like,
I read here the masked leader is Eric Young.
Oh, okay. Well, from pictures that I saw on the Reddit.
Because it says, this is on Wrestling Inc. It says, Sanity defeated Bobby Roode and Ty Dillinger in the first round of the Dusty Rhodes Classic. Roode walked out as soon as the beating began. Sanity is Alexander Wolf and Sawyer Fulton, accompanied by a masked man slash woman. The female attacks Ty Dillinger. She reveals herself as Nikki Storm. The masked leader is Eric Young. So maybe Nikki Storm is pretty known on the independent scene.
Yeah.
And Eric Young is obviously Eric Young. So maybe they come in masked and then they reveal themselves after.
Yeah, because I just sent you a picture of them standing
together. Alexander Wolf is known too. Sawyer Fulton I've never personally heard yes. of.
So that's it for our NXT for spoilers.
So these guys kind of look like a Wyatt Family 2.0 almost.
Oh no.
You know what they look like actually, Joel? They look like Decay. A little bit. They look a little like Decay.
Which I'm perfectly cool with. I think that's
I swear Nikki Storm was in TNA.
I don't know. That name sounds really familiar. But
yeah, I'm just going to check it out before we head out here. But I'm glad that Eric Young is now officially with WWE now.
Yeah, so that's Sanity.
Also, a possible opponent for Bobby Roode would possibly be James Storm. Since James Storm announced that he was a free agent today. But again, we're also kind of going by the idea that this could be kayfabe and you could be feuding with Billy Corgan.
Yeah.
So we will see.
We will see.
I'm just going to check Nikki Storm really quickly here. She's 27 years old. She's from Glasgow. She was traded by this guy called Fergal Devitt.
So not good at all.
And this other guy called Robbie Brookside.
So, she must be proficient in Lego then, building them.
She only did one wrestling in TNA. She wasn't, this is how I know her. She was in TNA's British Boot Camp.
Oh.
Which I actually did watch.
Hmm.
And the other way I know her, she was the one I told you about, Nikki Glencross.
Ah. Oh, okay.
But like I told you, it was kind of peppy, had that Mickey James vibe to her.
Yeah.
So they found her. They found a story for her then.
Ah, very good.
Yeah. So good for her.
Ooh. Well, I think that's it.
Yeah.
An hour and 40 minutes later.
It was a lot to cover this week. I mean, especially the Elite versus Decay. So that was your NXT spoilers. Goes up to the 12th. The NXT special, though, you know what? I just don't think we're going to get Nakamura and Joe, though, Joel, because looking at everything, so that goes to the 12th. That's a Wednesday. There's still 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more NXTs because TakeOver is on the 19th of November.
I think they'll find a way to fill it.
I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked if it's on an episode of NXT, but, I mean, TakeOver makes more sense, and the way they're doing these injury angles, possible to stretch it out. Hideo and Austin, too, it's going to be very hard to stretch that out.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see how it's done. It's not easy stretching something out for 2 months, but I think if you can get both those matches, especially Hideo and Austin Aries, if they can hold it off for a month, there could be something there. Yeah. And do you think that maybe Bobby Roode is involved with Sanity?
No, God, no.
No?
Because they had a completely different look than what Bobby's...
No, I just wonder if they're just like these kind of crazy people that he kind of gets them to do his bidding for.
I have my doubts.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there.
Oh, yeah. No.
So we know it's not Roderick Strong then. Who could possibly debut in Toronto?
Oh, crap.
That's a possibility. So, leave everyone with that little nugget. And until next time, cheers!
Best in the world.
Enjoy the day, people.